Welcome to Gardens for Everybody. Today, Elizabeth and I want to talk to you about what we do know about tomato growing. And so, Elizabeth, we planted the tomatoes in May.
We did.
And you've been working with lots of people in the garden with the tomatoes. What have you been doing?
I have been working with people about tomatoes, and we have staked the tomato plants to support them. And when we planted them deep, and then we mulched them. Well, they've had water, so they're doing okay. The ground is staying moist, which is good for tomatoes. And then more recently, we loosely tied them to the stakes so that we allowed room for the stems to enlarge as they grow. And we have been removing the suckers from the tomato plants.
Oh, slow down. I have a bunch of questions.
Of course you do.
Why did you mulch the tomatoes?
We mulch the tomatoes because, one, we want to keep moisture in the ground because tomatoes do need a lot of moisture. And also because when it rains, we don't want the rain hitting the soil and splashing the soil up onto the tomato and taking soil pathogens up to the tomato. So the mulch makes a barrier so that you're not getting that splash up of soil.
Interesting.
And hopefully less pathogens on the tomato.
What did you use as your mulch?
Leaves, still using the leaves that we had previously, spread around the base of the tomatoes as mulch. But you could use, you know, whatever mulch you've got, basically.
What kind of leaves?
They're just the leaves that we had from the houses surrounding the community garden that we collected together in the fall.
Tree leaves?
Tree leaves, yes. Sorry. You could use other leaves, I guess. But yes, we have tree leaves.
Okay.
So suckers.
Tell me what suckers are.
Suckers are the beginning of a new branch at the axil of the leaf, which is where the leaf attaches to the main stem. You'll see little tiny green suckers at that point. They'll steadily enlarge and get bigger if you leave them. But we're currently taking them off because we want the plant to put energy into creating the good leaves and then hopefully tomatoes.
Do the suckers become stems?
Yes, the suckers will become branches and stems if left.
So if you left all the suckers on, what would the plant look like?
It would be very, very bushy and very big, a big bushy plant. But as we remove them, we're also creating a little bit of more ventilation for the plant so that it gets air to it, it doesn't trap moisture, which could also lead to pathogens on the tomatoes as well. So that's one other useful thing. Not everyone removes suckers all the time, however. I personally know someone, myself, who does very little to their plants. I mean, I have actually removed some suckers this year, but I often don't remove them. And then I know that you were saying that in the garden we are removing them right now, but we're going to reevaluate the need to remove the suckers as time goes on, because maybe we do need a bushier plant as time goes on.
It does seem to be a catch-22. My understanding is if you take all the suckers off, your plant will produce larger fruit, but fewer. And if you leave all the suckers on, you get more fruit, but they're slightly smaller. So in the end, you have the same yield. But a plant with a lot of suckers is very, very bushy.
Yeah. And so, for air circulation, it may be advantageous to remove the suckers. The other thing that some people do is to prune the tomato plant and remove bottom leaves. We're really only removing bottom leaves if they're going to be turning yellow. That's another thing that some people do, but it doesn't seem to be essential for the health of the plant.
Actually, I'm sort of opposed to it. I think that you should only take off the leaves that are going yellow. It's a sign that they're either unwell or old. If a leaf is green, then the plant is using it to do photosynthesis and create the sugars needed to make tomatoes.
Yes, so that's how plants get their energy, is from photosynthesis, and they need their leaves to do it. So I agree, it sounds like it's important to have the leaves there. But if the leaves are damaged and not working well, diseased, you're going to remove them. And currently we're removing suckers just to encourage and having a more air circulation and to avoid having too bushy a plant.
Yes, because we should tell our listeners that some of our plants are around the potato field, so they've got good air circulation.
Yeah.
But some of them are in rows, and so they don't have as good air circulation. So depending on how we planted them in different parts of the garden will depend on what we decide to do with the suckers.
And then the plants that we have are all indeterminate plants.
Yes.
Which means that they continue to have fresh crops of, or they continually produce tomatoes as long as they're alive. And at home, people might have determinate plants, which will produce one crop of tomatoes and then stop producing. And so the other issue with indeterminate plants is at some point in our season, because our season is relatively short compared to where tomatoes originated, we have to decide if we want to stop our plant growing, i.e., you know, kind of cut the top off or stop it producing flowers, because we want it to put its energy into ripening up the fruit that's already on the plant.
Yeah, I think most years come August, sometime in the middle of August, we start cutting off the top of the plants so that they will finish ripening the fruit that is already on and not continue flowering.
Yeah.
My understanding is that tomatoes come from the Andes Mountains of South America, and I believe that there, in that climate, they're perennials, but we don't have that luxury here in Canada.
Yeah. And, you know, we were just discussing this. Actually, you could bring your cherry tomato plants inside, overwinter them, and then put them back out again the following season. And I do have a friend who has done that, actually.
Really?
Now, she hasn't had great tomato production yet, but then, on the other hand, it's early, but that tomato plant did survive the winter and it has gone back outside.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so if you've got space and you want to try that, you could definitely try that.
That is cool.
Yeah.
By the way, I have to tell our listeners that my dog, Fozzie Bear, is laying between Elizabeth and I and attempting to keep our attention on him.
Yeah, there's some licking, there's some licking going on. Last year wasn't a good year for tomatoes. So we didn't get as many tomatoes last year as we would have liked. And so what can we do this year in order to have a good year, and what will make a good year for tomatoes?
I think that they need a lot of heat and a lot of sunshine. I think that last year it rained almost every night, so the soil stayed very, very, very damp. I know that last year a lot of the bottom leaves went yellow and fell off, so the plants were struggling, and they didn't ripen very well.
Yes, I think it was the heat might have been some of the issue. Lack of heat was some of the issue, and a lot of rain, lots of overcast. Although, you know, tomatoes do need deep watering. You know, ideally they would have deep watering maybe once a week, but they don't like continual rain.
Yes. And the other thing is we have no way of controlling whether or not somebody is a smoker.
Right. So you're talking about the tobacco mosaic disease that can affect tomatoes, and tomatoes are bred to have some resistance to that disease. But of course, that doesn't mean you can't get it. And it is a disease of the tobacco plant. And in fact, cigarettes are treated to extreme heat many times, or rather the tobacco that goes in cigarettes is treated to extreme heat many times in order to kill the tobacco mosaic disease. But it is possible that if someone was using a different type of tobacco around plants, they could transmit the tobacco disease, mosaic disease, to the tomato plants. Hopefully not too big an issue in most of our lives right now.
Yeah, and that would be because tomato and the tobacco are in the same family. They're both Solanaceae.
Right, yes, yes, that's a good point. So they're at risk of the same diseases.
Yes. So I think that covers it for tomatoes. We'll get back to you later in the fall as we're harvesting them.
Yeah, I think the main thing that strikes me is that a lot of people have rules about how to look after tomatoes, and, you know, this is how you do it. You have to prune it this way. You have to do these certain things at this certain time. But I think the reality is if you come to my house, I will not do any of those things. And I do have tomatoes, But, you know, obviously we're a bit more careful in the community garden and we do remove suckers and pay a lot more attention to removing damaged leaves. But at the same time, the rules about how many leaves to remove and how to prune a tomato may be something that in your backyard you don't need to pay attention to.
My opinion of rules when it comes to the plant kingdom is that we humans don't know enough and we should just look at the plant, see how it's doing, and make a judgment for each individual plant and our own aesthetics.
I think that's right. It's what are you trying to get out of the plant? What do you want from it? How much work do you want to make for yourself? And if your plant looks healthy and it's doing well, maybe you can leave it alone.
Yeah, because plants have been around for more than 350 million years. Humans have been evolving for a mere tiny 6 million.
Yeah.
We don't know much.
We sure don't. And yes, and so on that note, that's tomatoes. And thanks for listening to Gardens for Everybody. And please follow or subscribe. Thank you.
Thank you.